No,
join me or die.
Keep going. Hello, everyone, and welcome to...
Check this out. You like that?
Today is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. We are live at www.twitch.tv/GMsCut. We are streaming live to our Twitter account at Rollmongers. We are on my own GM Jeff Ball's personal Facebook. We are going to DLive, which hits all the gamers in China. And on top of all that, we are streaming to Steam. We are streaming live right now on a Monday night at 7:30-ish EST to YouTube. Our YouTube. The place where you can find all these videos later, sometimes re-edited for better music, not to cut out anyone doing anything naughty, because we play raw here, rules as written, and we pretty much leave everything in. But we do try to avoid politics. We do try to avoid religion, and we do try to avoid sexual preferences. And those are hot topics, and they are in-game, I get it, but we usually try to avoid those. But I have something worldwide helpful to the world I want to quickly discuss while we're waiting for a certain Mr. Frank Hamilton to magically appear. My older brother Ian, who's 18 months to the day, my senior, is far more the technical wizard than I am. And whenever I got excited about something, going, "Oh, Ian, check this out," or what, he'd be like, "No, no, no, that's spyware. Get out of there." You know, or "No, no, you know, this is the guy that keeps my old man's computer running. This is the guy that has a bunch of friends. They all come to him." And he's so busy, I can't actually get him to like help me half the time or show up. And I'm always relying. But luckily, we have Rob Hammond, we have Matt Witt, we have Corey Shays on, and just about everybody knows a little bit of something to keep the technical world here going. But he posted this on Facebook, and I was so impressed. I got to share it to the world right now. And this is not a soapbox pitch, okay? This doesn't cost money or anything. This is just an idea, sharing idea. So he writes, "Back in the day, some of us nerdy computer guys participated in the SETI at home project. We used our computers to climb through the mountains of data gathered by radio telescopes, looking for patterns and signals from outer space, hoping to find some sign of extraterrestrial intelligence. Today, he asks that you free up some of your CPU cycles in the Folding at Home project to help with COVID-19 research. Anyone can do this. You do not need to be dirty, okay? Fast forward through a whole bunch of technical jargon. You download an app, and in the background, it basically uses part of your computer's brain. This is not like data mining or that kind of crap to like try to get, you know, invisible currency. What it does is, in the world of medicine, there are proteins that are beyond small or microscopic for study. So they actually have to put together a speculated framework of how these proteins fold and interact, as in a whole bunch of math, the kind of math that would take lifetimes for their computers to solve. So someone got the idea that they could organize the data, that they could take chunks of it and send it off into the net for your computer to analyze, go bing, fries are done, and send it back to them. So not a full internet, consistent internet chew-up connection is even necessary. And you could pause this, you can shut it off. Basically, the idea is a lot of people leave their computers running 24/7. And when you're not using your computer, it could be chugging away, doing medicine, doing research, helping the freaking world. I love this idea. He is so inspired, he's created a team called Peterborough Fights, because he lives the next town over. Team number 264266. And the idea is that not just anonymity, like, "Oh, I could do this, thank you for picking up the link on just Facebook," that there's sort of, you know, for those that like the idea of a community coming together. If you decide, by helping out, by letting your computer download these small bits of a bigger calculation, crunching the number and sending the result back to the people that are doing the research, your computer basically becomes part of a supercomputer community. This could help life get back to normal sooner than later. This can help something like this happening again, or at least staying so widespread, out of control for so long. So, he says, and I wholeheartedly agree, let's all crunch some numbers and kick some virus butt. Thank you for listening. I will post the links and the app in these episodes. And let's get back to Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars. Picture it. Star date 4172. The Starship Resurgent is sailing through an unknown region of space out of the Felucia sector. And Captain Nathan Fillion comes in and says, excuse me, ma'am, master, would you please get out of my chair? And she's like, oh, sorry, Sonny. I just, and, you know, Master Dina gets out and shuts off the log. It was fun. Where did we leave our heroes? It is season 3 of the We Shot First podcast. We are episode 8, I believe. And going around, we have at the front of the line, ready to wrangle some little Ognok piggy people on Cloud City, on the planet of Bespin. I'm sure you've heard of this place. If not, go watch Empire and come back and you know, realize how much your life has been empty until now after watching that awesome, awesome movie. Because the original trilogy is still better as far as I'm concerned. And Rogue One. And, okay, you know what? I actually finished watching The Clone Wars today, the cartoon, and they do a bunch of tie-ins. If you go back and watch Season 7 of the original Clone Wars cartoon, so you can see a bunch of filler that happens in and around and leading up to Revenge of the Sith, Episode 3, go watch Rebels, the other cartoon. Like, if you don't worry about the Resistance and little kitty thing going on in that TV show. If you want to get your Star Wars on, if you want to see some canon story and see connections between people, I mean, Rebels has Princess Leia in it when she's really young, has Lando Calrissian in it, even has, I can't forget his name. He was in Rogue One, and he was the old merc that they found with one eye. And he was like, who will you fight? What will you do? I was scripted and paid money for this part, but I got a throat infection, so I just thought I'd work with the RASP, you know, that guy. I love it when they take a real actor and make a cartoon out of them, and then they like, backlog backstory, make them younger, and then do, like, canon stuff. So here we are. The scene is the Parliament of Guilds on Bespin City in the lower business district. They followed, sort of a backwards way of following things, a reverse computer hack, found out the source of, you know, where this might be coming from. And as the door to an office slides open, over a dozen Ognots looked up from their computer terminals, ended conversations, and freaked out. One grabbed the other in his little language and went, R-r-r-r-r-r. And as our players shuffled into the door, I believe it was Poser Sham, played by Aidan Willems in the house tonight.
Hello.
Was trying to get up front to... Here's a player that hasn't had a lightsaber for 3 seasons and is happy to put down his axe because now he's not allowed to carry weapons. And, you know, you gotta rough up these little dudes. What's the plan here? All your friends are in the doorway. And I believe the dialogue was, which actually eventually came into Galactic Basic. I told you they would find us, the Ognok shouts. You brought them down on us, all because of your meddling. They will kill us for sure. The second Ognot, fighting desperately to break free from his companion's grasp, cries out pleadingly, we don't know that they work for the Hutt. Maybe they could help us. Why are all voices similar? We are the Lollipop Guild. Anyway.
Oh my god.
That's not racist unless Matt calls me out on it. Okay. Then you're the bad guy. So.
That's sizist.
Sizist. Okay. It's apologist. So. Gentlemen, what do you do?
I see we crush one of their schools.
I don't agree with you on that.
I am not surprised.
Second roll.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Easy, easy, easy. We only found you because you left such a big footprint out there. No problems, no problems. All you got to do is tell us what we want to know, and he ain't going to crush your skull.
The two Ognots separate. The first turns to you and starts pleading for his life.
Please, I did a lot of work for the Hutt. I'm just a paper-pushing pansy, and I can say it 3 times fast, unlike my friend here. Paper-pushing pansy. Please, 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 don't kill me.
And if it, he even, like, shrinks down to his knees and just starts, you know, weeping. Like, literally, it's sad watching a grown pig cry. The second introduces himself as Krieg.
Hello, my name is Krieg. Please excuse my get up, Fen, you're embarrassing me kick. We meant no harm with the message that we sent to the Banshee.
And then down on the ground, Fen's like, you know, through crying, nodding. Yeah, what do you say?
Well, then, what was your intent?
Well, they tell you that they noticed you guys were snooping around. And fearing, you know, for the repercussions of Darga. They just wanted to kind of throw you off the scent.
So Rahal turns and gives the stink eye to everybody, because it couldn't possibly have been him. And, all right. Well, explain yourselves. What was the purpose of all this?
Well, while you're turning back and talking, Krieg starts rebuking Fenn for his spinelessness, and he invites you to come into his office. We should talk, you know, in my office, that kind of thing. What are you looking at? Get back to work! You know, because there's a whole office of like little piggies, you know. They've got the pinup of Miss Piggy on their monitor, and you know, that kind of thing. Ognots. They appeared in...
They're the ones that did the disassembled C-3PO.
Well, they started playing catch with his head when it came down the junk pile.
Aren't they also the guards in Jabba the Hutt's palace?
No, those are Gamorreans. Those are Gamorreans. Oh. These are... Sorry, not, yeah, not like the orc Gamorrean kind of guys. These are like these little tiny balding... They look something like the guy from Mandalorian. I have spoken.
It's how I picture Leth.
What?
Just because he's not here. Ha ha ha.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah. So,
actually, you know what? He is an Ognot, by the way.
What?
No, yeah. Nick
no, he's not.
I'm what? Looking right at it on the net. He's a cool looking Ognot, but Nick Nolte plays this big Ognot on Mandalorian. And you got to remember, it's years later with different makeup and special effects, right?
I thought we thought you were talking about Leth for half a second.
Oh, no.
Anyways, yeah, I'll follow him in the office. I'll kind of do the little wave to get everyone to hold back.
Yeah.
As soon as the door closes, you know, with the office, I'm going to walk up to the one that was freaking out and be like, so, would you like to tell us what you know?
Actually, unless Rahal really wants you guys to stay outside, he follows the other one inside the little office, and it's open for, you know, the whole party to come in, as it were.
Oh.
There you go. Ognot. Sort of have that, British guy in safari, giant blonde mustache mutton chop that comes down from the sideburns and comes up, you know, that kind of thing. The little piggy
face.
This
one's got a kind of like orangutan-y look.
Yeah. Well, it was anyway, one image of many. But they, you know, the two of them go through the office door and leave it open if you guys all want to come in. Or at least a couple of you.
Ozer will follow.
Okay. Certainly.
Okay. Zin opts to, like, watch the door and cover our butts. You know, you leave a guy out in the hall kind of thing. Or steps inside the office and just, you know, don't make me be the bad cop. He'll get back to work. So. They try to make you comfortable. You know, they start fighting with a broken coffee machine. You know, the room, the entire office is sized for a small class character. So you guys are, you know, hunched. And Merrick is visibly, comically having trouble with doorways and, like...
I become the door.
Yeah. He pretty much just steps in and then just, yeah. Keep your legs
head,
together.
Half a shoulder, and it kind of stops at that
so
point.
So I'm perfectly comfortable in
Poser is also very uncomfortable because, you know, he's got an extra head and a half.
Oh, yeah. And just to be spiteful, the fluorescent lighting tracks, ballast, run the opposite way. So you come in, you keep ding, knocking the big cone off of them. Arr, ding, arr, arr, you know. Our slick suited pinstripe guy, you know, our mousy little human just, you know, rides under. How tall are you? Like, you're like 5'9" or?
No, he's short. He's diminutive. He's like 5.
Oh, 5 foot tall. Okay. Anyway, instead of like an 8 foot ceiling, it's more like a, you know, a six and a half foot ceiling top. So you guys are all like, ah, that kind of thing. So a little bit of, you know, a little bit of coffee and, you know, tries to get you guys comfortable and calm down. Even Fenn, you know, perks up at, you know, Java time. It's Java time. So you have questions?
What was the purpose of the call? I mean, I get the warning, but you had to know we was going to find you.
It was just to throw you off our scent, well, hopefully it'd scare you off and you'd leave or go to the gambling or something, huh?
Throw us off your scent. It was like a beacon. Led us straight to you.
And the whimpering guy, Fenn's like, see, I told you you shouldn't have made that call. You shouldn't have made that call at all. They couldn't have known. They just would have gone to the party or something. You know, we just could have, you know, now Darga's probably going to kill us or send guys. Shut up. I got this. No. These guys, you don't work for the hut, do you? Do you? You're not here to kill us, are you?
I don't work for anybody. I work with Daga from time to time.
Okay. Fen goes into a spasm of crying again at that.
Get up. You're embarrassing me. Krink gives him another kick.
Hey, Daga's as much a friend to me as you is.
Well,
if you can just tell us how to get in touch with him, we'll be out of your hair.
Well, I don't know where he is, but ever since he set up his ancillary operation here in Cloud City, it's caused no end of trouble for us Ognauts. Us particularly involved in the Parliament Guilds, you know, and the ruling body. When he first set up shop in Cloud City, he began bribing a bunch of our people that work for Fig and Associates. And he smiles and he points like down at the desk that has the little, you know, Krig so-and-so of Fig and Associates, and points past Merrick like there was a sign you missed at the front door. Galactic Lore, gentlemen, at the name?
18.
7.
14 untrained.
So I'd have to go with Merrick because I'm thinking this is 15 or 20, the DC on this. It's the company that's responsible for the Tabana gas exports from Bespin. So they're manufacturing as well as shipping, or at least the manufacturing aspect to get it to the dock, as it were.
Okay. Well, they're very gassy.
He began bribing a bunch of Ognauts working for Fig and Associates in order to siphon off some of the spin-sealed Tabana gas and sell it on the black market. When Fig and Associates discovered the missing Tabana gas, they've been taking their complaints to the Parliament of Guilds, knowing that the Ognauts were responsible for the missing gas. But no one knows which ones. Not even us. These kinsmen of ours that have sold out to Darga are making the rest of us hard-working schleps that just want to earn a living. Legitimately, it's getting worse and worse. Over time, the situation has degenerated to the point where our Ognaut reputation is completely close to being ruined. We may not be able to renew our permits this year. We might not be able, you know, my entire office will be out of a job. They might export the entire race off Bespin. That won't stop Darga. He'll find another way.
Well, as much as I feel for your plight, what's that got to do with me?
So the crying guy, friend, steps up and he says,
When I noticed that you guys were, you know, searching for Darga, I sent a message to dissuade you from seeking him further. But I was just trying to help, try to get you, you know, from getting too involved with dealings with that slimy hut.
Craig's well, like, unfortunately, the business I have with Darga is incomplete.
Craig slaps him and says, yeah, and like the man said, you led them right to us. I still think it's maybe not such a bad idea that they came, that you've come. Maybe you can help us. You could help the Parliament of Guilds root out the Ognauts that are on Daga's payroll. We could provide you with information that could help you in your search for the hut. If you do that for us, we'll look into it.
That seems like a fair trade to me.
Nobody has their snout to the ground like my kinsman.
If you can get me eyes on Daga, I'd be willing to lend my crew. What did you have in mind?
Well, we were considering, you know, dealing with the criminal comrades ourselves, but we think you might be more suited, and reputation speaking, you know, even though our problem is in-house, a sort of a company civil war would destroy the company as well as our reputation. So, if you could find a possible peaceful way to resolve the situation, that would be appreciated.
I've been known to have my fair share of time at the negotiation table. I'll do what I can to help. Just point us in the direction.
All right. He says, as a token of faith, we'll give you a little bit of information about Darga up front. We know.
He looks left and looks right. There's like no windows in this room, but he's looking all around in case somebody hears, right? Looks sideways at Merrick's legs to see if there's a, you know, a seal or if anyone can hear or see through the big man filling up the entire doorway.
We know that Darga has been dealing with the Empire.
His eyes go wide and there's this big silent nod like, yeah, you can believe it, really, the Empire, ooh.
Well?
Yes, Merrick.
We knew that already.
Ah, but did you know that there's a transaction literally about to take place between Darga
and the Empire. If you take care of our problem, we agree to share the rest of what we know. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And to get you started, we've tracked some of the source of the Tabana gas being sold in the black market to one of the storage areas in the bowels of Cloud City. We could give you directions to get there, and maybe you guys could find something out.
Flips out a data pad. All right, just upload a map of the city and the coordinates onto this.
Awesome. Anyway, so he, gets to that. Fenn starts providing you the information. Craig says, but a word of warning, you know, the wing guard rarely goes into those depths. You'll be on your own down there.
This wouldn't be the first rodeo.
Great. Then we have a deal.
And before he even gets a chance to, like, finish hacking the loogie, I'll take your word for it. Merrick, shake the man's hand. Turns around. And
little guy comes up. No.
So, Merrick crushes his hand.
Okay.
Just take I'm going to crush that. Like that, Merrick's arm would like grab his entire forearm.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Social distancing here, people.
Right up to his elbow. Yeah.
Sold.
Okay. So, with a generalistic bunch of directions, it's telling you that fellow Ognots are dirty. Not all of them, but some of them within Figgin Associates. Some of the working class, not the white-collar paper pushers that we got up here. And giving you directions to one of the many, many storage facilities in the bowels of Cloud City that is not often patrolled by the Wing Guard. You guys might be rolling into something, hopefully, advantageous to advance your search for Darga. Because if you can deal with these guys, hopefully peacefully, I mean, they don't necessarily want their fellow Ognots killed. If you can help it.
Well, there goes my first plan.
I'll take the data pad. We'll be in touch. Nod to all the guys. Let's roll. And then as we're on the way, I'll make sure that they've all got their holdout blasters.
Yeah, everybody remember where we parked?
Also remember. And I flash him my something that's not a something that I found in a certain trash bin.
Let's just save that as a race in the hole. Could be a great diversion if we run into trouble.
This is diversion. This would punch hole in outer hull of this space station.
Then don't put it on the outer hull.
You got it wrong.
Inner hull it goes. Fast forward to like some time later and, Rahul's there doing his business sitting on the john and, you know, reaches for a toilet paper and tick, 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 tick. Oh. Suddenly you become the scene from Lethal Weapon 2 or 3. So
you're fired.
Boom.
Nothing gets you cleaner though. Nothing gets you cleaner.
Boom wipe. The last ass you'll see. Okay. So no. Fine. Heading on down. So is there any other preparation, anything you guys want to do before you actually head straight to straight here?
If there's a chance to run quickly up to the room to grab my case. And then come back down.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, I'll make sure we're all ready for this. Check-ups or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got a sneaking suspicion things is going to get hairy.
Wait, do we have one?
You have a new stun baton brought by R4. Blunk. Remember that?
Well, I was just thinking, one of us has a case which has been approved to bring stuff into this building. Lock and all.
Would it fit Sasha?
Could Poser perhaps find room for Sasha? Or perhaps for some other weapons?
Yeah, but you have to clear customs again.
Wouldn't the case already be cleared?
It would, but if you take it back through customs, think of the dock outside the city like an airport. Like there is, you kind of go through a gate and people, you know, and just, otherwise people could just like, yes, this giant crate is full of moss. And then like late at night, just run the moss back out to your ship and fill it full of bombs and run it back in. Like, you know,
it was still on Sky City. It's not on our ship.
It's in the hotel room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
never mind.
Trust me, if I
could. We got a bomb. We've all got our holdout blasters.
Got a vibro axe.
All right. Let's roll on out, boys.
So, this bomb, what do you want to carry it in? It does look suspicious. It's pieces, and you put together this A1 bomb, but there you are carrying something, you know.
Oh, I thought you said thermal detonator.
I said it could be as powerful as one, possibly. I didn't say it was one.
It's hey, like, guess what? We have a case. We can put things in it.
Oh, very good.
There you go. House for the bomb.
Yep. So you take
that gets me my theme
so
music.
The axe goes out, the bomb goes in.
I should be able to fit in both, depending on how big the bomb is.
If it's a, if it's supposed to be a guitar case that fits the axe, then I'm thinking like a sealed thing. Otherwise, you may have to disassemble the bomb, put it all around it, and then it's like you open it up, and Merrick spends the whole combat putting it back together.
I can assemble a bomb very fast. I have special skills for that.
I'm just saying, the case is designed for some maybe some extra something for a guitar, and he's, you know, well, I guess because it's not a guitar, because it's an actual vibro axe, you would have some giant case that's not an instrument case. You would just have some giant box, and people are like, what is it? And you're like, oh, my guitar's in here, see?
Well, I did have take feet that allows me to make a bomb in one full round action.
Okay.
Out of random scrap.
So how about you break down the components, chuck it in the case, and we've got a little box of potential bombs.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Which is so the axe doesn't accidentally turn on and, you know, set things off.
If it is in pieces, it should be safer.
True.
Yeah. Should be.
Stay close to the Syrian. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Or stay far, far away from the Syrian.
Well, he's the guy that's got to make it happen, so. All right. So anyway, anything else?
That's it.
Oh, so, sounds good to me.
Okay. So let's head on down and let's talk about what we can see.
Darkness.
You should see something.
Yep. Light in the darkness.
Let there be some light.
And there was. Wait, inside the space station?
So, Cheryl actually took a black and white stock map, put it in her Dungeon Painter program, and made this color 3D looking map for us. She's actually done all the maps for the adventure. That's
thank you, Cheryl.
That is her contribution.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Her contribution, and I gotta say, as the maps progress, she's done a really good job. So let us let's head on down to the map here. Pull up my The doors open, and here we are in a dark room, very large. The air is hot and muggy in this Tabana gas refinery, and everywhere machinery rattles and hums. Sorry, just queuing up my rattling and hum music that unfortunately the audience can hear, but you cannot. Hisses of gases that are vented and heavy equipment that is moving. 5 Ognots scurry about the area, working to make sure all the machinery is functioning properly. And one of them stands in the rear of the chamber near a massive crane. The crane is lifting a 3-meter-wide Tabana gas canister up from somewhere beneath the grated floor. As the base of the huge container passes the floor, there is a hiss as pneumatic grates slam shut beneath it, allowing the crane to set it down. Do you guys know what a pneumatic grate is? Yeah, the
like
eye,
a pneumatic?
The eye iris spiral that opens, you know. Pneumatic. Spelt like phlegm. P-N-E-U, pneumatic.
Pneumatic.
Yes, well, yeah, I said pneumatic first, but now he's like, you mean pneumatic? I was like, no, pneumatic. But it's spelt like phlegm, like P-N-E. Anyway, care to explain, Ryan?
Pneumatic? We're talking about liquid pressures? I believe Aiden would be the better one to explain this.
Actually, I believe that Ryan would be the better one to explain it.
Oh, come
on. It's me. I know it. I know it. I know it.
We're talking about differential pressure? Okay, Matt. You're so weak.
So, fluids is hydronics, but pneumatics is air.
You mean hydraulics?
No.
You just said hydronics.
Hydronics.
That's a way to grow plants.
You know what rhymes?
No, that's hydroponics.
You know what rhymes with hydroponics and hydronics? Phonics, Matt.
Hooked on phonics. Hydronics is fluid dynamics. Pneumatics are air dynamics.
Ah, so air pressure. But not like the Star Trek doors that you go at and they just open by themselves.
Nope.
So those are two guys who are offset pulling the doors.
So, gases and poofs and whatever. Yo, Merrick, you're on point.
Very good. I poke my head in the door.
Okay.
Poke.
This is what you see. So I'm going to start dropping, you know, little people.
Little people. Everyone is little people to Merrick.
Minis. I'm going to start dropping miniatures in and around. And Craig and Fen said the workers that are down there in the refinery are called riggers. And you see five riggers wandering around, you know, twisting bolts, checking little glowing panels, flashing lights, and all this hissing and humming. And they're roaming all around the place, scurrying rather quickly. And in the back on the right, you'll see that reddish, you know, Bespin cloud through the floor and a crane that has just hauled up this canister right through the floor.
And then before he, like, plows into the room, I'll put my hand on his shoulder and be like, stealthy, Merrick, stealthy.
Merrick is always stealthy. And Merrick was...
Yeah.
So, moving into the room, being stealthy as I possibly can, 15.
Okay. I'm just using Zin here as a light bulb.
Zin just zits to the walls.
And all we have is the butt light of Rahal again.
Oh, no.
Let us be cast into its light.
Bolzer, oh, man. How does it feel?
It's glorious, Merrick. Oh! Truly glorious to be bathed in its presence.
Praise the light.
Butt light.
Oh, God.
It's okay. We will entertain in the meantime while this is remedied.
Be bathed in its cheeky holiness.
Oh, the double pun.
Ooh, will this not be like Sauron? The eye?
More like a cat's eye from the back. Anyway. Anyway. Noisy machine shop. We'll just make it a little less noisy. with your, sorry, perception?
My perception, I...
Your stealth of 15, I got that.
Yep. Perception of 8.
Okay. A small porcine being grunts as he shuffles around the refinery close to you at the next machine floor, wearing what looks like a heavy smock. Its surface pitted and burned, the Ugnaught scurries from one machine to another, dark eyes fluttering about the chamber as though fearful of being caught. And dude zoops, like, right by you on that corner from the heavy machine in front of you, off, you know, zoom. But with a crappy score of 8, that's about all you can see. Something okay. Very obvious within 2 or 3 squares of you.
Okay, I like to move up to the north and east corner of that big machine as soon as you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And just do a peep around the corner.
Okay.
Okay. What? Do one of these little whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yep. More of the same, really. You know.
Yeah, I'm just checking for bodies.
The guys are spread out.
If I want to, I'm just trying to sneak in and not be in anyone's line of sight. Totally trying to like the Metal Gear Solid this.
Well, Rahal, you bring your light source with you?
Yep, I'm following.
Okay. Then you're lit up. A light, you know, lantern comes into the room. I can drop.
Is this room in entire darkness?
It's really, really dim light. They can see pretty well. And, you know, those.
Like Mustafar?
No, like the machine shops where they've got the big welding helmet like, on.
Like and the scene in Empire where they're like touring through the underbelly of Cloud City.
Yeah, a lot of orange lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. A lot of LED ambient lighting.
Dim lighting. All right. Rahal, you're right. Put it... Oh.
Yeah, so I wouldn't walk in there with my bright lantern glowing. Just FYI. I was like, yo, stealthy. And then I'm just like,
Wait, get my song on.
Actually, you know what? Rahal might actually do that. You guys hide. Grab the light.
Oh,
just go walking in.
Yeah.
So you're just,
pay no attention.
You're just gonna like
giant walk, double man
walk out and just go straight up the middle kind of thing while they all filter in behind you and around that kind of thing.
Yep.
Okay. Poser.
I'll look at him and raise the case. Do you actually want the intro music?
Are you right on Merrick 6 here?
As Rahal is walking away, and you know, I'll ask him this question, and if he doesn't say anything, then
He asks the question, and I'll just kind of. Shake my head and point towards the crates as I'm walking by them. These things over here, I don't know what they are.
Machinery.
Yeah.
Machine like, object number 4 from Dungeon Painter. You know, interesting things. Okay, so backing up the scene a second here, I just realized that as you scoot out and end your movement, you're kind of out in the open and can be easily spotted. Merrick, skirting, if you continue to skirt along the side of that yeah. of that machine.
That's why I was trying to do the little peek.
Yeah.
See anybody? Nobody? Move forward.
Okay. Now, due to the noise, okay, and due to all the vapors and gas clouding in here with the low light, I've just been raising the DC. But you guys have gotten used to like, oh, 15 is pretty good, 20. So I'm going to tell you, there's a -2 penalty to all of your perception checks because of the noise alone, let alone the vapor and the gas. So I'll let you guys self-govern that penalty. Okay?
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So sort of a you know, very loud, they're very busy. You know, when Rahal gets to the end of his movement, you know, you're going to see... you know, they're probably going to see you, or I'm going to, you know, really start the checks in earnest. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So with your proverbial six squares from where you're here, poses at the door, and Merrick's on the corner of that machine, and you guys are like three squares in the room, you know, move yourselves in any direction up to six squares, and I will start the surprise round, you know, now.
Five,
we'll see
six.
It, and if you guys want to... No, stealth actually is half movement. So I guess Merrick only would get three squares. Or do... Yeah, yeah. Right?
I would assume as much.
Okay.
I'll look into that.
I think so as well, but I'm not positive. But yeah, so Poser would move up to where Rahal was, and then, you know, slowly start creeping around.
Okay. And perception on my end to see if anyone notices you. -2, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Nope. You know, everyone's still working. If they notice you, they don't seem to care at the moment. So, let's start an actual, I guess calling for a surprise round, you guys would have, it sounds like I'm making these guys like, you know, they're about to freak out or whatever. But there is another reason why I have to sort of keep you in initiative. So, I'll actually ask you for initiative rolls.
Quick ruling on stealth. If you move more than your speed in any given round, you take a -5 penalty on your stealth check. If you move more than twice your speed in any given round, you take a -10 penalty on your stealth check.
Oh, so you can go...
You can move your speed.
Yeah, your six squares. And if
I wear heavy armor, so I move slower.
What do you got? 4?
I think so. Yes.
Yes, also, any circumstances that hampers your ability to sneak around and poses a -2 penalty on your check, while favorable, gives you a +2. For example, sneaking across a surface... littered with debris imposes a -2, while a room filled with abundant hiding places grants a +2 bonus on your check.
I would assume you get a bonus because of the ambient noise and
So there you go. There you go, Joe. When we play Age of Ashes and I call upon Joe for rules or whatever, in Star Wars I call upon Aiden and Jace. It's like, this is what it's like for the audience. Like, Aiden, let's talk about stealth. We were complimenting Joe the other day and saying, you know, he's doing a fine job just like you guys do in Star Wars. And it's like, there you go. Now he gets to see, you know, an advantage. So let's have initiative from the bunch here. We got Rahal up here already.
11.1.
15.2. And I'm actually going to reroll that because as a Sarian, I can do that.
18.17.
There we go. 23.12. That's a bit better.
Who in the what now? 0.12.
It's the modifier to it, but
it's so in case anybody rolls the same number.
Yeah,
there was 2 18s. Whoever had the highest decimal would take initiative.
Yep. Okay.
Anyways.
Okay. So placing random minis on the board, these represent my my baddies, as it were, the Ugnaughts. Okay, Merrick.
Yes.
I have no initiative from you.
18.17.
The decimals, ladies and gentlemen, are to defer instead of an actual, like, oh, we both rolled 10, who has the better dex check? It gives a decimal so that if you fall in the same number, there actually is a greater and lesser value. So, now that we've determined the prime numbers, you guys can just go off of those.
Very good.
Yes. So, with my guys, just kind of humming away... Starting with Poser, Merrick, and you have your quick conversation. He's sneaking along in his battle armor. Rahal's already up in front, trying to, you know, about to draw attention. What do you do? What are you doing?
Well, I saw Rahal motion towards this way, towards the machinery to the east or to the right of him. So I'm going to continue along the machinery directly in front of me and move to the corner, mirroring Merrick. I'm just kind of peeking out, giving a good look at what I can see.
Okay. Perception, a negative two.
Yep. So that would be 17.
The general layout of the room, okay. Instead of giving, I thought I'd have a little fun here. Instead of giving the room its internal lighting, okay, to keep everything in shadow, I'm going to place some Zinbots on the perimeter. And as you'll see, like some dim lighting will penetrate, you know, the room itself, giving you, yep, you know, slightly better ambient light. Okay. As your perceptions rev up. Poser, you can see the guy on Rahal's right. You can see in the back, you can see sort of an atypical intelligence shines in the eyes of this particular Ognot by the crane, who seems to have complete control over the situation. There's even the odd little guy that'll like run up to him and he'll give him orders, and he will then scurry away back to his machine. You'll also see, all while he's operating the crane, he looks over and points at somebody else, calls their name, and starts shouting orders at them. Like he's kind of foreman, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Rahal.
Yes. So I will draw my holdout blaster and put it in my hand kind of behind my back. And I will step out and say, Parliamentary Guild Inspection.
Okay.
Please have your ID cards ready for inspection.
They all look up from what they're doing, right? They look at you, and like, because you literally went, you know, I'm an authority and I'm an inspector, okay? Their reaction time is impressive. They don't go, huh, like, there isn't supposed to be an inspection today. They react immediately, like, oh shit, it's the fuzz. You know what I mean? Like, their reaction time is like, whatever they're doing, they don't want anyone to see, especially somebody who just announced themselves from the guild. So we take moves. 1, 2, 3, 4, and come to around the back of this. This little guy tucks in here. The guy beside you, 1, 2, 3, comes around. This guy comes up. This guy fades back. And the boss guy, you know, sort of like runs around the back of the machine. Anyway, they see you, they look angry, and they just, you know, scatter and shatter. They all take cover. Can I have a perception check, Rahal, Poser, and Merrick, for free? Mm. Calm out. Don't be shy.
Natural one for a 4.
Ooh, a 16.
26 minus 2 is 24.
Okay. Until there's some other stimulus, Poser, you would just assume this is going to go down the way Rahal's playing it. You know, they might freak, they might run, they might bluff. You're probably the one person that's unaware at this point that actually sees a couple of little dudes, you know, they're not only taking cover, they're reaching under the big schmock and pulling out things with handles and triggers. Round one.
Got it.
Poser. However, you're allowed to use the force for perception, and it's automatic, isn't it?
Possibly?
Right,
I
so
don't know, actually.
You didn't call for it, but a classic Jedi shtick is when you find yourself in danger and don't know it, the force alerts you. So give me a use the force check.
His spidey senses tingle.
Exactly.
All right. Use the force check of 30.
Yes. You suddenly become aware that you are in immediate danger from everything around you, including the environment, everything in it, and something waiting, something that might stir. But right now, the immediate threat are the sentinels, and the actual environment is hostile.
Okay.
What do you do?
Well, if that's the case, I am going to... sorry, just looking up.
Sure.
What's the action to draw a holdout blaster?
It's a move, like you're... You want to do a deception to pull it out stealthily, then there's a whole bunch of stuff for that, but you're like, you know, if you want to go to guns because you feel threatened, you just whip it out, unless you have quick draw.
I do not. I am not a ranged combatant.
Right.
These machines over here, are they like, you know, from floor to ceiling, or, you know, just kind of like a waist height, head height?
Oh, the machines here?
Yeah, the ones just to the right of Rahal. That one dude kind of ducked into the corner.
Everything is bigger than you, or at least, you know, would come up to somebody's chin kind of thing. You know what
okay.
I mean? Like, I believe, I don't think anyone can, like, lay a gun across a car hood like it might look on the right there. I think everything is large enough that you have to use the corners and peek out around.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Just
or at least it's like, it's not so tall. It might be a table height, and then everyone's just kind of hunkered down like it's a car door or the front of a car. You know what I mean? Like, and you could climb up and like, I get on top of this thing. Ah! King Kong's got nothing on me. Sure, go nuts. You know, bit of a climb.
Okay.
But yeah, we could say they're each at least a proverbial square or two in height.
Perfect. Okay. Okay. Then I'm going to move six squares up north and east, so up and to the right, and get behind this cover, drawing my holdout blaster in one hand.
Okay.
And guitar case is still on the left. So.
Okay.
And I'm posted up on this corner. I see this dude. So that's my turn.
Okay. Strange. He didn't post on the corner opposite you. He faded back. You know what I mean? He's either stupid, or he was hiding, or possibly trying to draw you in. And again, this is sort of a force perception, like, you know, the force is warning you. Either he's hiding, it's not a problem, or he's drawing you into something, or he was hoping that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's
it doesn't seem like he's an active combatant.
Yeah, but like that ping that you got, he's got a gun out. He's got a heavy blaster pistol in hand, and he's got it trained on you. Their round was like, oh crap, I only gave them a single action, so I didn't have them like open fire and stuff, run and shoot, but they definitely pulled a weapon while scurrying to a corner and then getting ready to, you know what I mean? So these guys, he's got a weapon out and he's not cowering, he's just taking cover. But tactically speaking, it's not the best place to engage a guy at the door, right?
Right.
So the force would like you to be aware. Anyway, anything else, sir?
No, that's it.
Okay, Merrick, you're up. Rahal, you're on deck.
First, I would like to... that's one guy hiding behind the crates. He has complete cover?
At the moment, yes.
Over there?
Mm-hmm.
No line of sight. Okay.
Till he leans out.
Very good.
Now, you can hold an action, and when he leans out to aim, you can pop at him. That guy is using the corner for cover for Rahal. I'll give him some facing. So he's kind of facing in, like he's getting ready for Rahal. You know what I mean?
All right. But he has no cover from me.
Not if you lean out, no.
No. Okay. So on the first round of combat, I can, as long as I'm not surprised, I can mark a prime target.
Okay.
So I mark him as my prime target.
Okay. I'll give him a little green dot because you are the guy in the green disc. This is Merrick's kill. Don't touch.
Okay. Maybe touch a little. I don't share.
Okay.
And so that's a free action. Move action. Draw my holdout. Standard action, shoot.
Okay.
Little tiny weapon. Where is it? Ah, here. Too good. Oh yeah, then plus two to the attack, so it'll be 17 to hit.
Plus two to the attack because...
Prime target.
Okay, so let's talk about that ability.
Yeah, gladly. It's an ability I picked up when I took my third level of soldier. It's called Ambush Specialist. And as long as I'm not surprised on the first round of combat encounter, I can treat the first round of combat as if it were a surprise round for the purpose of talented feats that only trigger during a surprise round. So, and additionally, during a surprise round, as a free action, you can designate your target as a prime target, gaining a plus two morale bonus on attack rolls against your prime target until the end of the encounter.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Okay.
Ow!
What? I just want to. Yeah, Rahal, it's your turn, and you say,
"What?" Rahal, get down.
So, hearing Merrick say that, I will. I don't know. Hard to see the grid. Do I have room to like tuck in here for some cover?
Yeah.
And I will.
Remember, prone gives you plus four to AC.
Can I see that guy? Do the old reach around.
Yeah, because you saw him run around the corner. You came out like looking all around going, get out your permit, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, eh.
I will shoot him. pow, 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 with a 20, not natural. Surprise! Pew, pew.
Nice.
Okay. Sorry, did you say you take aim?
I do not take aim.
Oh, you do not take aim. Have, okay.
I do not have the action for that.
So I have my 10 cover. So Mr. Rigger here goes from a reflex of 11 to 21. You have no modifiers?
I have a force point.
There you go. Hey, there you go.
Is that the sound that makes every time you use it?
Yep.
I'm ba- he's obviously
force
he's,
here.
Yeah,
he, what?
He's backed up and he's obviously very backed up in force points. And
hold on a second.
That would be a 26.
Nice.
Okay.
Seven points of damage.
Done.
Don't make this any hotter than it has to be, gentlemen. Surrender now, or feel the wrath of the, what is it called again?
Guild.
The Parliament of Guild.
Who do I work for? He checks his badge. Oh yeah, I've been deputized. Okay. Sure. Ouch. And now it's Argo.
Who's Argo?
So the Ognot Foreman poser. I guess sorry, you can't see him. So Rahal, the guy over by the crane. As a swift action, he takes the butt of his blaster and starts banging it on the canister. Oh, sorry. So I guess that puts him over here. Starts banging it on the canister. Come on, damn it. Of gas. And suddenly, a whole bunch of flying bat-like creatures, Galactic Lord Rahal, scatter that were clinging to the canister and start randomly flying all around the room. These
That's Condor Man.
Not again.
Not again. Galactic lore of 10.
This leathery winged creature resembles a normal Minok with a large sucker mouth and dangling eyes. However, it seems to have some kind of gills on the side of its neck. And as they fly and breathe, right, little green gas comes out of them, like these things might have been actually sucking on the tank. So instead of chewing on power cables and electricity, these things seem to, you know, been interested in gas because it's coming out of their little gills as they everywhere, all around. There are 6 of them and they scatter, and this ought to be fun for the moment. Instead of putting them on the board, I'm just gonna, you know, they fly up and away and around and, you know, start freaking out like bats. And they don't seem happy. And then a shadowy... Oh, sorry. That's our boss guy. Okay, so swift action. Bang, bang, bang. All this happens. And then I'm going to lean out and take aim on Rahal. Aiming is a move action? Yeah. I can aim as a move and just shoot.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. So swift to bang. Sorry, I had him in the wrong spot before. That wasn't movement. That was him running around last time. Let me just make sure that's 6 squares, because I had him here, right? So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so I'm actually here. That's as far as I could go. So instead of aiming, I bang on the tank, move 1, 2, 3, a bit more into the open to take my shot, just to be fair, and shoot at Rahal with an 8. Plus my big bad boss bonus of 7. So 15 to hit you, sir.
Yes.
And a miss. Now, as I was saying, all around we go. Poser, your guy comes. He sees you. You're in cover. I'm going to take a shot at Poser. So we, you know, rinse, repeat. 18.
Hole.
19.
Yeah. That hits.
Say what?
On the flat roll.
Okay. Just wondering why it says 18 and then...
Oh, it looks like it rolled twice.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay.
Either way, it hits.
Okay, so 18 to shoot you, sir, and that hits.
Yep.
So yes. I'm looking at 3d8 from a heavy blaster pistol this little bugger pulls out. And does 12 points of damage against Poser.
Ouch.
Okay. This little guy skirts out, you know, does the lean out, and takes a shot at Merrick down the bottom of our video screen. 11 plus. Where's my guys? Dun, 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 dun. I think they have a heavy blaster plus 4. So they're not quite as good as the boss man. So 15 again to hit Merrick.
Nope.
Okay. These guys don't have any other targets. All we can see is Rahal. So we're going to light up Rahal because he's the only guy we can see. Oh, you're so lucky. 14, Rahal. Followed by 19. 23? 23. Yes, no, maybe. He's looking. Rahal, did we hit you?
With a what?
23?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. With a 23, dancing out of the way of one bolt, but unfortunately putting you right in front of the next, you take... Oh, you know what?
But why is it rolling twice for all of your rolls?
I don't know. That's weird. I'll have to look into that. So, taking the first set of D8s? Where are we here? Because now I'm losing track on the board here. What did I hit you with? I hit you with a 19.
19.
We're ignoring the 16. We take the first 3D8,
oh,
which is...
Oh, 19? On who?
Yeah, but a total of 23.
Oh, okay.
We have a plus 4. Right? 3D8. But I don't see the last 3D8 damage. Where was my last
one? It was 16 and then 19.
Yeah,
okay. It's showing.
Yeah, so 16 points went to... oh, no, there it is. Yeah, 12 points to Poser. Right, so the first one. Ignore the 19. The second rolls... I don't know what's going on here. 16 points, Rahal.
Ow.
If you please. Plus 1, so it's actually 17. And plus 1, because it's 3d8 plus 1. So Poser actually took 13.
That,
you
that
take
beat
17.
My threshold?
Yep. Sorry, so Poser, I owe you a point of damage. You actually took 13. Merrick takes 17. And when I beat your threshold, you go down one on the condition track, yes?
Oh, no, sorry, my bad. My threshold is 19.
Okay. But thank you for
sorry.
No, it's fine. Thank you for the honesty. Oh, you know what? I'm looking...
Oh, and by the way, I didn't need to spend that force point because
right.
I was down
I'm...
two steps on the condition track.
I'm looking at...
And didn't
yeah.
notice.
Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong guy. So, guys, forget about the plus ones. Terribly sorry. 16, Rahal. 12, Poser. Apologies. The way they got this listed is a little weird. I'm a little rusty here in combat. So, that being said... A shadowy figure emerges from the back of the tank, climbs up on top, much larger than a Minok, and launches itself down on top of the foreman. Mr. Joe Gibson is in the house tonight.
Hello.
Riding up on the canister of Minoks. He's a Minok whisperer, by the way. It's a thing.
All right.
Attacking from on high, jumping down with the buggy fist to the face and foot, clawed foot. Give him the boot.
I do not have a map.
You have a blank map?
Yeah, black.
Okay, we'll get to that. You look up your fists of fools and I'll fix you.
I have it right here.
Okay. So I'll roll. Attack!
Attack. Punchy. Attack of 24.
And that is a hit.
12 damage.
Against the leader, who seems quite shocked at your sudden appearance. Anything? I'm assuming the movement pretty much took up, you know, the most of what is you.
Yep.
Okay. So.
Yay, I can see.
You like that? I didn't have a guy, so I had to go with the Sam person.
That's fine.
All right. So. And we're going to add you in at the very bottom of our initiative here. Surprise, surprise. Bum. And we're going to give you 5 to go after them, which you happen to do now, finishing the round. Round 2. Poser, you are up. Merrick, you are on deck.
All right. So this guy just popped me. I'm not happy about that. Quick observation. Doesn't look like anybody can see this guy, right?
What, you mean the guy that's here? No.
Yeah,
no, you guys are in some kind of little corner of going on. He's isolated. No one, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think I'm going to regret telling you that.
You are exactly going to regret telling me that in about now. Force grip. You use the force to choke or crush your enemy. Time, standard action. Target. One target within 12 squares and within line of sight. Make you use the force check. And DC is 15 to 20 to 25, and their fortitude defense. So I suggest having that up.
My fort defense is 12.
Oh, no. use the force jack at 26. So, if you beat, or if I beat DC 25, which I did with 26, the target takes 6d6 points of damage. And if my use the force check equals or exceeds the target's fortitude defense, they can only take a single swift action on his next turn.
Ow.
Yep. And I can maintain my concentration to continue the damage from round to round by, making a new check. So let's roll that 6d6.
Let's tell him what he's won. An isolated lonesome death.
21 points of damage.
Oh my god. Yeah, no kidding. Anything else?
No, that's it. I'm out of sight of everybody.
Yeah,
is that it? Is that all?
Well, you know,
all I can do right now.
Every time I say thank you and go to the next guy, I always get, oh, wait, I got my swift action left. I have my, so I'm asking.
There's nothing else I can do.
Okay. Any other actions just to make sure we're clear? Okay. Merrick, you are up. Rahal, you're on deck.
Oh, Rahal's getting lit up pretty bad. So I will leave my cover, move 1, 2, 3, 4 right beside this dice guy, and shoot him at point blank range.
No.
Yes. 11. It looks like I rolled. Yeah, I rolled a 1.
I've got the Starfinder, which would actually, have really cool space crits and fumbles. I got it right here, just collecting dust, Really neat. But we're playing rules as written, and Star Wars just has double damage and auto misses. They really don't have anything for once. No gun jams, no. Do they have anything? They don't have anything, do they? Well, that's dull. You guys hit 10th level and start squishing the world. We'll have to possibly re-examine that that idea. Nothing like a good gun jam in the middle of a battle. Okay. So, attack of 11 with your holdout.
Yes.
Actually, all I have is my schmock, and I am completely exposed. So that actually hits me. Ooh. I don't know why you ran
it's
up to
it's a natural one, so I believe it just auto misses.
Yeah, sorry. That's the good news if you had not actually rolled a natural one. So what I'm saying is, I guess there is something for the one. It always misses, the classic D&D. Anyway. Sorry to get your hopes up and crush them. Anything else, sir?
Just not used to that little teeny gun.
Yeah, he's trying to get his finger in the actual port.
Barely. I had to break this thing up to get my finger in. It's not good.
He just squeezes it like a ketchup bottle and boom, fire it.
That was my move in action.
Okay. Rahal.
And Rahal, get to cover. Don't be in the open.
Oh, I forgot about something.
Right.
I completely forgot about something.
Good. So I will move.
Let's roll the old 20 here. 3 plus. Okay, good. That would have missed
it. It's really hard to see the grid on here, though.
Oh, sorry. We are in battle mode. I can rev up the battle grid. Sure. Now that we're out of.
Fully get to cover.
There you go.
I don't think I can get to. Can I get to beside poser? I can't. 1, 2.
How's that? That better? The crimson grid?
Yes, that is better. Thank you. So I'm going to move back to here and shoot at. I don't know if I got sight on him. But the boss, not him.
Yeah, that's the boss. I've got some partial cover, the +5, not the +10 from that angle, but not bad. Unless you want to just line up the shot by hugging this wall here. That's up to you.
I guess it doesn't really make a difference, so I will actually take the shot. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. 13.
Against moi? Little old boss man? I've been a farmer for 20 years and I've never, ever been shot in the face. No. That's just a miss, sir.
Okay, then. That's my turn.
All right. Round. Oh, sorry. Argo. The very surprised, boss here that's getting punched in the face. I can't remember. Pistols provoke or no? I don't think they do.
No.
So I'm
no going, provoke from a pistol.
Right, so I'm going to shoot you, little man.
All right.
I'm going to shoot you with my 8, and plus my 7 is 15 against your reflex.
No.
Okay, so he shoots, and you're too close, and he just leans out, and he starts, you know, come on. He's like, even though he's fighting you, he's yelling into the air. Like, he's like, guys, you know, like, remember the drills, you know, this is our storage area, you know, defend it like you would your home. And he's got, so he's dropping like some key words there. There's no 5 foot step in this. If I move straight back, I think I provoke. So I think he thought he would shoot you in the face and it would be done. So I don't think he's going to move. Anyway, some of our targets are sort of fading into the darkness here. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have this guy here move up to get a clear shot, like to aid his buddy here on Vabouche. Are you French? Natural 20. Auto hit. Double damage. Ain't that something? You know what? Maybe I'm just using the wrong dice roller. I use that auto thing. It seems to be doing all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to try the other dice roll here. And it rolled once, twice. It rolled twice, but we didn't want a crit going. So 15 and 17 points of damage together is 32 points of damage total. That beats your threshold.
You think?
And if I beat it by 5, I think it goes down even more. I think you might drop more than a single, you know what I mean? Depending on how badly I beat it, it might drop. You might drop more than 1. I do know you're down 1 on the threshold track, which means now you're -1 to everything.
No, it's just 1.
Okay.
You beat the threshold, it period. It's, yeah. It puts you down.
So you're now -1 to everything, sir. But if you take your character sheet and just click on the thing, it'll automatically calculate it for you.
Already done.
Thank you. And the strong silent type gets shot. Right.
So for how much damage?
32. 2, 4, 6. Okay, so spending it double moves to get into position to chase Rahal off this corner. That guy moves. This one here returns fire and is going to shoot Merrick in the face. Hopefully. Also with a natural 20.
Axe!
Yeah.
And I'm going to roll 68 instead of, you know, just to see if it does it instead of this double stuff. There we go. So it rolls 68 and you take 36 points of damage, and you as well, I believe that beats your threshold. Drop 1 down the track, sir.
36? No. What are you talking about?
60.
Holy crap. That's huge.
3d8, double damage. So I just rolled 68. Instead of 3d8 twice. Joe just took 32. You didn't blink. 36, not that much more.
That's the new guy.
I did. I was muted.
Oh, okay. He's making up for it now. Merrick's my friend. I pay that guy. You know, I don't want him to die. All right. 36 points of damage to the face. And you move 1 down the track. This guy over here doesn't see Rahul because he hasn't got, like, there's, even if you're like back 1 more square, there's a chance I might see Rahul, but since he's 1 square up, he hasn't broken anywhere near that corner. So my only target again is Merrick. So the guy that's over in the
natural 20.
The guy's over in the corner. Roll. Well, I could have kept the 16, but I'm doing a fresh roll. Rolls a 10, and that's 14.
The 16 was the last bad rolls of 8 you had there. I would have taken the 16 over the 36.
Okay. Sorry, 10.
No.
Okay. And right, so the guy that's suffering the will of Poser, can I take any actions?
You can take a singular swift action.
A swift action.
A swift action, specifically.
Can I talk?
I don't believe that includes... I wouldn't think so, but it doesn't specifically say you can't.
Okay.
He's getting choked.
Okay.
I mean, it's technically force grip.
He looks surprised, and he's like he's waiting for something. Remember how he said he was waiting?
Yeah.
It's almost like something was supposed to happen last round in this position, like the DM owed it to you, but the machinery got stuck, and this area wasn't hazardous. Something must have stuck. So as a swift action, just like the other guy, he bangs the machine hard with his, like he's struggling with his thing, and this gout of gas vents straight out along the inner wall towards you and attacks you, as it were, attacks your reflex because you have a chance to, like, you know, jump away with a 16.
That just misses.
Okay, So this, he bangs the machine and gets it to gout, not flame, but, you know, nasty gas at you, and you, you know, lean back, or by the time he gets to your edge, it's like, bleh, no, you're fine. And checking the rest of the environment, Rahal, right in front of you, two squares, this machine gives off a big gout of gas. Merrick, behind you, and all around the place, this place gives off all kinds of this, that, and the other. Oh, no. Oh, look at that. You are lined up. Oh, okay. No, you're not. I'll be fair.
There's already crit two of us this round.
No, it's just that Cheryl set up the map and the machinery overhangs a square, and it screwed up my, you know, my gauging. So I'm looking at the original and the walls, and it's like, no, he's clear. But I gotta tell you, Rahal, the machine that Poser's on your right, okay, that thing gouts straight towards you from your right, and on your machine, two squares ahead of you, gouts straight out. Whoosh. Couple behind ahead of you.
Okay. Forces with me.
Yeah. And I believe that is all us, bringing us to Vabesh. Vabush.
Yay!
Alright, I will try to grapple.
Alright.
Nice thing is, there's a button.
Grapple button. And you're hitting my reflex, I believe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe so. unless there's rules in here to grapple the fort.
Well, it depends. Okay, so there is grab, and there's grapple.
Grapple, not grab.
Okay. Well, it says you can only make a grapple attack if you have the pin feet, trip feet, or both.
Yes.
Okay. Treat as a unarmed attack, except it deals no damage. If the grappling attack hits, you and the target immediately make opposed grapple checks.
Right, so...
which is a d20 plus VAB plus strength or dex mod, whichever is higher, plus right. size modifier.
Right, so okay. Treating as an unarmed attack, that would have to go against my reflex, which is a DC of 17.
Well, you should roll the unarmed attack first, and then you roll the grapple next.
The grapple button is to maintain the grapple. Yeah, so you get to do an actual...
Yes.
You'll actually get a better chance of hitting me if you just actually do the...
Oh.
I get it.
Oh, as long as somebody does.
Yep.
All right. So.
Yep. Grab on.
That's a 24.
Ah. Okay. Now, I'm assuming that somebody that has combat gloves or whatever, when you grab somebody, there's no damage. You're doing it. Like I said, you roll for the unarmed strike. You use your attack bonus as if you're going to hit me, but you're grabbing me instead.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. So you actually do grab him.
Well, no. Now we do opposed grapple checks.
Right.
And so both of y'all hit the grapple button.
Right. So he's got his at 15. Right. And my GRP or my grapple is a plus 2. So I roll a 20. 14 plus 2 is 16. So you grab a hold of him and a little wiggly piggly.
Force point.
Weak, weak, weak. Yeah, you can.
Sure. Why not? Why not?
Dude, use the force.
Use the force. Use the swords.
I mean, it is the boss, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There should be a button on your sheet up by the top for the
pull.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But you have to manually subtract your force.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Two, so that 16 would have matched him. And I don't think that does much, but 70, just getting the grapple. And we will see you in round 3. Right after this break, if you're watching this live, but next week,
it's
if you're watching
yet.
It, there's more to it, Jeff.
Yes.
I know, but we're still going to see you next time. It's called Suspense.